From the time that we were kids and trick-or-treated, probably a year or two after we should have stopped, we've all been looking forward for an excuse to make it out door-to-door again on Halloween. As parents, Halloween offers us a chance to relive the fun that we remember while making memories for our little ones. But when is it okay to start going trick-or-treating? What are some safety tips to consider for toddlers? And what experience have we as parents had that can help those going through their first Halloween with kids be helpful? I'm John O'Reill, host of Parent Savers, and today we're going to be talking all about this in a special spooky Halloween edition of Parent Savers. This is episode 77, all about Halloween safety and secrets for toddlers.
Faster than a speeding toddler.
Sit still for just a minute.
Can soothe boo-boos with a gentle kiss.
Would you get down from there?
Able to clean poopy bottoms in a single swipe.
Oh, what did you eat?
Turning frazzled mommies and daddies into procreators of peace and harmony.
Ah, quit touching me.
It's Parent Savers, empowering new parents everywhere.
Welcome once again, everybody, to Parent Savers, broadcasting from the Birth Education Center of San Diego. Parent Savers is your weekly online, on-the-go support group for parents of newborns, infants, and toddlers. I'm your host, John O'Reill. Thanks again to all of our loyal listeners who've joined the Parent Savers Club. These members get bonus content after each new show, plus special giveaways and discounts. They also get access to all of our archived episodes, but guess what? So do you. We've unlocked our archived episodes, and they are now free for anyone to listen to, so make sure to go check out some of our old episodes so you can hear some of the great Parent Savers wisdom we've been spreading for the past year and a half. You can subscribe to our monthly Parent Savers newsletter for a chance to win a membership to our club each month. Another way for you to stay connected is by downloading our free Parent Savers app, which you can get on the iTunes Marketplace or the Android Marketplace. Then you'll get an alert whenever we release a new podcast. So we're doing a special episode today on Halloween. And for this episode, we've got it's going to be a pretty fun discussion, hopefully, panel of parents.
I totally jinxed it.
People are going to be like, this is the worst. But we'll make a lot of Halloween sounds. Yes. So that'll make up for it.
Woo. That's the important thing.
Exactly. So let's introduce ourselves and our kids. I'm John O'Reill. I have three kids, Quinner, Whitaker, and Zyler, and they are 6, 4, and 2 years old. And I'm going to introduce another special guest joining us for the first time is my wife, Christina.
And I'm Christina. And
how many kids do you have?
I have three children. I would say they are 6.5, 4.5, and 2. But that's why I'm their favorite.
Nice. All right, Bill.
All right, I'm Bill Sandwald. I have two children. I have a 6-year-old named Kaz, 3-year-old named Yoshi. And can I throw out a fun fact that my wedding anniversary is on Halloween?
Woo!
How bewitching of you.
Yes.
That is a fun fact.
Well, my name is Erin Esteves. I am OG Mamacita, and I have one child. His name is Cash, and he's just about 2 years old.
And I am Sunny. I am the owner of New Mommy Media, which produces Parent Savers, Preggy Pals, The Boob Group, and coming soon, Twin Talks. I have two little boys at home, Sayer, who is 3, Urban, who is about 18 months, and twin identical girls coming soon, Ainsley and Addison, due December 2nd, if I can make it that long.
Right.
It's the baby apocalypse.
The baby apocalypse. Could be really scary. It really could. My house could be scary. You may not want to come over for a while.
As Erin said, I'm scared for you. I don't say it that much, but we're kind of scared for you.
I'm very scared for you.
Before we get into today's topic, I am joined now by Kelly Wilson from Alert ID, and they make a great app that's perfect for parents and families. So we're going to learn a little more about it. Welcome, Kelly.
Thanks for having me.
So tell me a little bit about your app. It's called Alert ID, and what led you to create it?
It originally started with a personal story, and I was in an amusement park in California with my three kids and my husband, and it was a very busy day, and we were separated from our kids for almost an hour. And any parent knows that panic, that terrifying feeling. And so thankfully we were reunited with our kids, but at that time I didn't have the necessary and updated information and photo and all that I really needed to be able to lead a search. So that spurred on the idea of how can we help children and families with lost and missing children. So Alert ID began originally as a way to help lost and missing children by creating a way online for families to be able to store this information. Well, in speaking to law enforcement across the country, they said, this is wonderful. It's revolutionizing child safety. However, can we expand it to include not only children, but families and communities and, you know, neighbors. And so we've been able to do that. So we created Alert ID, which is a free online and mobile service. And it allows you to see what kinds of events are happening in your neighborhood, whether it be crimes, sex offenders, and neighbors can share information with each other. They can share suspicious information. We have a platform for public safety that people can communicate, a social network, if you will. And then we created an app so that you can take this information with you wherever you go, whether it's no matter what state you're in. We're in all 50 states. So people can take the app and say, okay, I'm going to go to a different park, or we're traveling to a new area. How safe is this area? So they can look at the app and see what sex offenders are near this park. And you know what? I'm going to either keep my eye a little more open, or maybe I'll go somewhere else.
We went to a park the other day that was outside of our normal neighborhood, and I was surprised by how uneasy I felt being in a strange area and not knowing what was around and being out of the bubble. And it sounds like Alert ID could have really helped me with that and get me to feel a little more comfortable with the area, or less comfortable if that's the case may have been.
Well, you know, and I agree with you. And I think in this day and age, information is truly power. And the more that we know, the more that we can be empowered with information and know what's happening, the better we can protect our kids and work together as a community to, you know, to feel safer and to take care of our families.
Okay, so how exactly does it work? You download the app. It's free, like you said, and then you also have to create an account, and then what happens from there?
Right. Very easy. Again, as you mentioned, it is free. You just go to alertid.com. It takes less than a minute to create an account, and all it will ask you for is your name, and it will ask for your address, but it's all simply for geographic purposes, so that it will pull up a map of your neighborhood. But you can include other neighborhoods as well, maybe your child's school, your work, you know, areas you visit, grandma's house, and you'll be able to see what events have happened in that neighborhood with a map. You'll also be able to receive email and push notification alerts whenever something changes. For example, a sex offender moves into your neighborhood, you're going to be notified. Anything in the sex offender database for your state, whenever anything changes, you're notified as a member of Alert ID.
And yeah, and we've actually got a landing page just for Parent Savers, Boob Group, and Preggy Pals listeners. If you go to alertid.com/newmommy, you can sign up there. Does it matter if you sign up first and then download the app, or download the app and then sign up? Can you do it in either order?
It doesn't matter.
Okay. So is the information you're getting through Alert ID, is that something that you guys are putting out there, or is it coming straight from the source?
It comes straight from the source. We tie it directly into the state sex offender databases, and it's unfiltered. So whenever anything changes in a sex offender's profile, their address, their, you know, any physical traits that change, that will just go directly to our members in an alert. And we also have crime information in many, many cities across the country. Same thing, we tie directly into their CAD system, their dispatch system, so that that information goes directly to our members, to the citizens. You know, if there's a burglary that happens down your street, you're going to be notified. So, yeah, it's unfiltered, and we just, you know, we have a partnership with them, and we tie directly with them. Can I add one more thing that I wanted to share with
Absolutely.
Families about the app?
Yeah.
Wonderful. It's on our free app, and it's called My Family Wallet. And for those of us that, you know, really want to be prepared about protecting our kids, and it kind of goes back to the origin of Alert ID, you can put on My Family Wallet your most updated photo, demographic information, height, weight, that kind of thing, directly into the app on your smartphone, so that you are prepared in the case of being separated from your child, or if your child becomes lost or missing, because then you have the most updated information. And law enforcement is so grateful to have that, because 99% of the time, families aren't prepared. So I encourage you to not only become a member of Alert ID and download the app, but be prepared with the most updated information on your children, so that you are prepared and you can be reunited with your child if you're separated from them.
Great. Yeah, it's a really cool ID. It's amazing, I think, that this is a free service, something definitely I think all parents and families should have, and I'm glad that we're able to make them aware of it. Thanks for joining us, Kelly.
Thanks so much for spreading the word and protecting families.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, today's topic is for Parent Savers is Halloween safety and secrets for toddlers. Today, we're doing things a bit differently. We don't have an expert per se, but instead we're going to have a roundtable discussion, and I guess we're all your Halloween experts, so maybe that's spooky in and of itself.
Maybe that's scary to you.
That is actually, ooh, scary.
There are many hours of trick-or-treating under my belt.
That's true. Yep. All right, well, let's kick things off, though, by talking about our first Halloween with our kids, you know, to maybe help see if there's anything that we learned or that we did that might be of interest to some parents with newborns. Or, you know, thinking about doing it for the first time. I think that for Quinter's first Halloween, he was like 9 months old.
Yeah, almost a year.
And I think the main things that we did is we dressed him up for like work Halloween parties, like a work, not like a crazy work Halloween party. Like
our
a,
work Halloween party.
Yeah. During
had
the a day. Job then Low key already?
Right. But I don't even think we went out trick-or-treating that year.
We took him, I think, to a neighbor's house or something.
And oh, like to one house.
To one house. But then really just gave him the joy of being there when other kids came to the door.
Yeah, and he was 9 months old, and so.
Yeah.
But I think the first time we really took him out was the next year when he was a year and 9 months.
You're right, the Dora year.
Yeah, he dressed up as Dora.
Oh, cute.
Because he loved Dora and not Diego, and people mm-hmm. were like, why didn't you let him dress up as Diego? And we're like, because he likes Dora.
That's really cool of you.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. My son had a short brony phase where he got into My Little Pony.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Yeah, so that we were like, that's cool.
Yeah, exactly.
You guys are modern dads.
Yeah. So. What do you remember from your first Halloween, Bill?
From my well, first Halloween? Well, my kids?
For your kids, yeah.
Well, since we love Halloween so much, we usually try to have themed costumes. So with my son's first Halloween, my wife, my son, and I were the Three Bears.
Oh.
And then with my daughter's...
Which one were you?
I was Papa Bear. I should have been Baby Bear. And then when my daughter's first Halloween, we had a fire theme. So my son got a fireman's outfit that mm-hmm. he... And so we kind of built it around that. So my daughter was the Dalmatian.
Oh.
I was the fire truck. We used like a sandwich board, and then my wife was the fire. So that one we had to explain to people because she had like this red outfit on and was kind of like flowing around, and they're like, "What are you?"
That's super cute.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's and then every year we come up
especially
with
like a baby. That's a really kind of cute and cool way to do it to mm-hmm. involve the
to do a family theme
to involve the sack of potatoes,
and you kind of get more candy when you have a theme.
So you guys all ulterior
motives. Okay, so yes. You guys all went around as a family then, trick-or-treating
oh, yeah.
like that.
Oh. I've never stopped trick-or-treating because I have a niece who's 20, and when she was younger, that's about the age, I was in high school, and I stopped trick-or-treating, but I would take her.
Which was then, a good deal for you because you wanted to keep going.
And they'd always be like, well, would the big trick-or-treater like a candy bar? I go, well,
I, yes. Oh, really? I shouldn't. No, please.
And she was hardcore. We would go for like 3 or 4 hours at least, you know, like, and we were, but my kids can't go as long now, but. It's still fun going around with them. So I think I haven't missed a year of trick-or-treating, except maybe once or twice in college.
Maybe you, when you got married?
That year? Did you go trick-or-treating on your wedding?
I guess we didn't. Well, sort of, because we went to Disneyland that day, and we got some treats. So
awesome. Yeah. That's impressive.
Have you dressed up every year, too?
Every
except
year?
For that
yeah.
year. Well,
yeah.
You were a groom.
Yes.
Yeah, they were bride and groom.
Bride and groom.
And we made our escape. Our parents would have totally killed us if we would have had like a Halloween. In fact, we said, we're getting married Halloween. I remember like getting calls like, you are not doing this. You know? But we had a normal ceremony. We had it in the morning so that we could get it up to Disneyland by afternoon. But when we made our escape, we put on like Halloween shirts and the Groucho Marx glasses and like
that is
car
cute.
And drove nice. Up. So, yeah.
Nice.
Nice. Did you guys go out last year with Cash?
No. I mean, we barely got the costume on him. And you know, I got one photograph with the costume on him, and his face is just all squished in agony. You know, he's just like, get this off of me.
Well, that's one of the crazy things that makes you angry about Pinterest, right? Because we've all tried to take pictures of our kids in their costumes.
Oh, my gosh.
And it never works.
No. Mm-mm. When does it start to work? I mean, has it with your older kids? I mean, do they start posing, right?
Because the older ones will pose, but now yeah. we want them all together. So yeah. we, mm-hmm. like, last year, there might have been a little problem trying to get the three of them to get a picture at the same time. Because at that point, then, the older boy's like, I'm in our costume, we're outside, we're going.
Yeah.
No, you're posing for a picture.
And then there's no smiles on their faces or whatever it needs to be.
I've seen some of the Pinterest fails, the picture of the baby sitting in a hollowed out pumpkin. Like, I've seen the beautiful picture on Pinterest with a little baby like that. Everyone I've seen where someone really tries to do that, no, that does not work.
Yeah, the baby is wailing.
I think there's a site dedicated to Pinterest fails.
Nice.
Yeah. And there's, yes, Halloween, I think, is a certain. So are you guys going to go out this year?
No.
No?
No.
You don't want candy?
No. Well, we haven't given him candy, but also Halloween scares me. I don't like going out there with people who have masks on.
Yeah.
People tend to get a little crazy, and they do stuff that they normally wouldn't do when you can see their faces.
Do you think that's because you're more downtown, like in an area where, I don't know, I mean, I don't know the crime.
Yeah, you live in a more urban area.
Yeah, I live in a very
urban. As opposed to the suburbia.
Well, no, for me, it's a personal thing. I've had a few, I'll call them mishaps, and they're all around like Halloween or people in costume or their faces were obscured. So for me,
there's no accountability.
Exactly. Yeah. And then on top of it being in downtown that, you know, people treat it like an alcoholic Disneyland is just kind of chaotic. So,
It's interesting about the masks because I actually have this rule that I try to enforce with the kids is that I won't let them wear anything that covers, you know, more than like a third of their face. I think it's half their face, like they can cover. Because, you know, I don't like it when if kids come to the door, you don't know who you're talking to, or even if there's like grown ups, like you don't know what's going on behind the mask. And I don't want them to be making people feel uncomfortable with that either. And so we kind of have a no mask rule.
I don't get too freaked out by masks because a lot of times, like when I see somebody in a really scary mask or something, I'll go, whoa, cool mask. And there's this little voice that goes, thanks. So as a kid, for me, I would try to get like the grossest, scariest mask I could. And I just thought I was like so awesome as some like second grader, like, look at my dead face. Or, But yeah, I can see like, you know, especially if there's an adult in a mask, it's kind of like, it's a little questionable.
From a practical perspective, getting a mask on a 1-year-old, not. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Happen.
Impossible. They would never keep it on.
Hat.
Or
hat. No.
No, that's the time to just make them as cute as possible.
I mean, if they don't even keep their diapers on, how can we expect them to keep a costume on?
Exactly. Sunny, did you guys go out?
We did, and I'm trying to think. So, yeah, okay, so we had both kids last year, and, you know, it's been a struggle. We have not hit our stride yet when it comes to Halloween whatsoever. Our oldest either hasn't gotten it, you know, he doesn't know what to do, he's too young to really know what's going on, you know, hates the costume stuff, or last year was just scared. Because actually, we moved, and we're in a neighborhood now that really kind of does up Halloween, which is great for the kids. It's a gated community and whatever, so we feel kind of safe. But it's also scary because, you know, there's a lot, like, people really have coffins outside of their house and stuff like that. And my 3-year-old sees, you know, a spooky spider and totally freaks out. And he doesn't know how to say trick or treat, really. And so he's like all timid going up to the door. And so we just haven't hit our stride with this. And the younger one's just too young. But we do. You know, I also have a problem with spending money on costumes that they're not going to wear. Yes. You know, but especially I think maybe with little boys, I don't know, I don't have any little girls yet, but like I do find that if you let them wear their costumes throughout the year, they probably would. I don't know if you want to do that, but
we do that. Yeah, we actually use Halloween as an excuse to stock up on the costume box.
Okay, so they do that. Okay, because I know little girls can do like the princess thing.
Yeah,
but I wasn't sure like
firefighter costume. Now it's all like superhero stuff.
Yeah,
I went as a pillow 1 year.
That's awesome.
Well, so let's talk about low budget ideas. Did you really go as a
pillow? Yeah, you just cut out holes in a pillowcase and put it on over your arms and your head.
That is simply brilliant.
It sounds like a ghost.
It does kind of sound.
Well, see, I tried the ghost thing, but I couldn't get the holes to match up with my eyes.
So it turned into the pillow.
I'm like, Well, I was looking around at what was left to cut up, and since I was in my bedroom, I was using my linens.
Well, so I would say that I think that one of the things I would say if for families going through it with young kids is, you know, because of the scary stuff, go to you know, maybe one house that you know, your neighbor, your good friend across the street, your person
people
that lives
in
next
your
door, right? Do the cute trick or treat, get the picture of them doing it, whatever, so you can kind of have it. But then, you know, especially one-year-olds, they love having specific missions to help you with. So if they're going to be able, if they can help with giving out the candy
right.
to the trick-or-treaters coming, as long as you don't run into the scary mm-hmm. fourth graders with the crazy masks, but, you know, early in the night, they can help kind of hand everything out. I think that's something that our kids have really liked, and I think it's a good way to kind of involve the young kids in Halloween.
Well, and I remember I loved Quinner's first Halloween because he didn't know what was in the packages of
that's
candy.
Right. Oh.
And we got all chocolate because that's our favorite. And he had no idea,
they were
that
candy.
There was candy.
And so he was playing with them in the colors
all
and
night
the candy
long,
and
he was
didn't
taking
know that it was candy.
Yeah.
So he didn't try to eat it.
Yeah. He didn't try and eat it. He just took it in and out of the bowl. It was there and playing
with
it.
It was just another toy to play with.
Right.
Well, I think that's a really good point about having them in the house because they are familiar with their own house, right? I think part of the scary part of it for them is that, you know, they're not used to going up to these strange, and you're telling them their whole life, don't talk to strangers, don't, you know, accept
then,
stuff from strangers.
Yep.
And then we're like, oh, here, take this candy and wear this costume and say trick or treat. I mean, it doesn't really make a lot of sense. So I think that is a good way to kind of ease them into it.
So let's take a quick break. When we come back, we've got some tips from the San Diego Police Department for safe Halloween. So we'll go through those kind of line by line. And continue the discussion that hopefully I didn't jinx and hopefully is a little bit of fun and educational. Oh! Welcome back, everybody, to Parent Savers. You're really good at that. Right? That today we're talking about Halloween safety and secrets for toddlers. So we got some tips from the San Diego Police Department. We'd asked them if they could join us. They couldn't send a representative, but they sent over some safety tips, which I think are kind of worth sharing. We can kind of go through and maybe talk if we've got any experiences with them. First tip is have your children wear light or bright colored clothing or reflective tape so they can easily be seen. But it's kind of a funny idea. And this is probably talking for like slightly older kids, maybe as like the 3 and 4 year olds go out. Or even bigger
groups. I would
groups,
say as soon as they're walking. I mean,
as soon as they're walking, yeah, because they could toddle away.
Right. And I've been trying to incorporate reflective tape into your costume.
Actually, yeah. If I'll take any excuse to put reflective tape on my kids.
We did it last year.
They also have like, I don't know if it's elsewhere in their tips, but those glow sticks, a lot
right.
of times.
Oh, yeah, I've seen those.
If you can
yeah.
get it, they'll put it around their neck, or and kids love this stuff. They'll wear them as wristbands.
That's actually.
Even, like, you'll
point.
Be like, I'm a cool, like a tough ninja or something, but it's with glow sticks all over your arms.
Right.
You know.
Is that for cars? Is that the deal just to protect them from cars?
I think it's
or?
For cars, like driving around the neighborhood
yeah.
for sure. I mean, because when it gets dark and the kids are like, run, there's a lot of street crossing.
Right.
And
right.
I think it helps the parents, though, just to be able to see them.
Well, I was going to say, yeah, since we have the older boys that kind of we give them a little bit of a longer mm-hmm. way they can go ahead of us. And when it got dark, it was nice to be able to, bam, there you are.
Yeah.
That's
a good, so like you go to Michael's or whatever, you can get these glow sticks for so cheap these days. That's mm-hmm. And yeah, we end up like stockpiling them and then, oh, we should have totally busted those out. So remember to bring them out on Halloween. All right, make sure their costumes fit well. Oversized costumes and footwear can cause them to trip and fall.
So did your pillow costume fit well?
It did. Thank you. Yes, that hit me at just the right place for my to flatter my figure.
No, I remember, I think it's easy to want to squeeze your kids in the costumes that may be too big for them, too. Especially if they're just learning to walk.
Yeah.
So you want to make sure that it's the right size. Maybe you don't want something that covers the feet, especially if it's too big. I feel like that turtle costume we got for Quinner the first year was too big.
Yeah, it was.
But it was so cute, so
it,
we were like,
adorable.
Like,
see, I had the exact opposite. And so Sayer was, we called it Sayersaurus. He was a dinosaur, but we called him Sayersaurus. And I found like a onesie that kind of looked like a dinosaur body.
Yeah.
And I really didn't factor in, you know, I bought it like 3 months prior to Halloween. And I didn't factor in that he was growing quite rapidly at that point. And so by the time Halloween came, he didn't quite fit in it. So here I am stuffing my kid into this costume, but then I just ended up cutting off the footsie things.
Yes.
And then I just wore tennis shoes or something with them.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
totally works.
All right, next tip, make sure that hats can't slide over your kid's eyes, and if they wear masks, that they fit securely and have eye holes that are large enough for full vision.
Yeah, this goes back to the whole do you want your kids wearing masks?
I say
period,
no masks.
Though.
That's
I don't know.
I say no masks.
I can't keep them on my kids now, so it's irrelevant.
Christine and Bill strongly disagree.
Well, I will say a mask almost got me kicked out of Disneyland on my wedding day because I didn't realize you couldn't wear masks in there.
What?
And I walked in, I was walking, I had a big like cow skull mask, I pulled it over and I was like walking around waving, and like within minutes, like I was swarmed by security. They're like, sir, you have to take off the mask or leave. And I was like, yes, please.
They have adults in costumes everywhere in Disneyland. And you mean to tell me they won't let someone walk around in a mask?
I understand.
Did you say cow skull? Is that what you said?
Yeah, it was kind of scary. So, I mean, I could see like those little kids that are like, hey, who's this weird man? You know,
this is supposed to be a happy place.
Is this
why
like
is
for sex offender predator? Yeah.
So I just didn't want to get kicked out. I said, you can have the mask. I don't care. Just let me go on. You know, small world.
Let me go to Adventureland.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan of the masks. The reason I'm looking at you is because our 6-year-old wants to wear a mask this year.
What
mask?
Yeah, but he knows. Want? Darth Vader.
Darth Vader.
Oh, that's kind of awesome.
I know. And it's because his friend's going to be Boba Fett, and they decided on their own to do it. So I'm having a mask crisis right now.
Well, I think
that's adorable and awesome, but...
It's a mask
crisis. I'm not cutting out eye holes big enough for him to see in a Darth Vader mask, by the way.
Because that's just sacrilegious.
But you know what? You've made a rule that I think is reasonable. You can totally wear the mask when you go up to, say, trick-or-treat. Lift the mask so they can see who it is.
That's perfect.
Yeah. So don't let him wear costumes with excessive fabric. Loose clothing can brush up against a jack-o'-lantern or other open flame and cause costumes to catch on fire.
Is this a frequent occurrence? Or is this like they're getting a little bit...
I can kind of see. I mean, how many people actually do the real candles?
Did they put these out in 1972? I mean, how many
people it could have been 2000.
Have...
It's still...
I mean, how many people have, you know, still use actual candles?
Right? True, but I think that there's fire danger, I think. But I think these days, we don't use real flames in the jack-o'-lanterns anymore. They have these candles. If they carry props such as swords or knives, have them carry flexible ones. Inflexible ones can cause serious injury. If they fall on them, is actually what they say.
Or if they wail on their siblings.
There's definitely, if there's swords involved, there's going to be wailing and injury. I mean, it's kind of like the pinata rule.
I have an issue with this. I don't care if it's Halloween or anything. I have an issue with swords, knives, guns, anything like that. I know it's all in fun. And, you know, I don't know. We had a friend that gave my son like this it wasn't glow in the dark. It like lit up, but it was especially for something at night. And it was a sword. You know, it's the whole weapon thing. Yeah. I just don't know what's getting into his head. And I'm just one of those anal retentive parents.
I definitely think for young kids, you can control that.
Yeah.
Having a 6-year-old, it's harder to, he will turn anything into a weapon.
Right, that's true. Yeah.
Well, but so then by extension, the 2-year-old does it a little bit too, because he's seen his brother do it.
I'm going to
So then you've got the 1-year-old and the 2-year-old picking up a blade of grass. Lightsaber.
Drop the grass.
The next tip says that attach a tag with your kid's name, address, and phone number to their clothes in case they get separated from you. And it's better that they go trick-or-treating during daylight. Mm-hmm. And I think especially for young kids, that's good. I mean, there definitely is this shift that happens with trick-or-treating where at the beginning, you've got like all the families and it's like the adorable Norman Rockwell painting of Americano with young kids. And then at night, it's like...
The scary mask.
The scary mask. Yeah. And you get the kids coming to your door. They're like... Bill, I think you should probably hang it up.
If you were able to drive here, I'm not giving you candy. Yeah,
that's right. Their voices crack. Trick or treat.
Well, and then during the day, there's a lot of cool activities you can go to, like a lot of, like malls or libraries might have things we can go in and trick or treat and maybe do a craft or something. And that's something. So if you don't want to take your kids trick or treating, there's lots to do while it's still daylight that they can still get the Halloween flavor without having to worry about going to some strange
Well, that's
store.
A great idea, too, because then you can get them out, let them do the trick-or-treating, and then there is some joy and fun about being at home and handing out the candy.
Right.
And so then they get both sides of that.
You can make it into a contest, like, if we see this many, like, ninjas tonight. I keep going back to ninjas for some reason, but if you see this many, then you win, or, you know. Like,
right.
All right, some of the other tips. You have to do a little bit with older children. Older children should go with friends, only go to homes with the porch lights on. Remind kids to stay on sidewalks and face traffic if they can. Tell your children not to eat treats that they collect, but to bring them home to examine.
Oh, man. I used to just eat them as we went.
I know,
is that a Reese's peanut butter cup?
Trade?
Those are always the first to go.
Well, okay, and can I say something? This is actually more for the parents out there. If you're not going to do the trick-or-treat thing and you're not going to answer your door, the stupidest thing ever is just to leave like a whole thing of candy out by your door. That drives me crazy. Yes.
All right, well, let me tell you where that's coming from.
Take everything.
Right? Here's where it's coming from when you get older kids, right? Like, where there's this huge conflict of like, well, I want to go out with the kids trick-or-treating.
Yeah.
But I also want to give the candy to the kids.
Well, right. And also, I don't want to be the house that didn't give the candy, because then you know whose pumpkin gets smashed?
Well, yeah, but what I'm saying is the older kids will come around and take all of it. It will be gone within,
well,
like,
so
5 minutes.
Well, so I don't think you want to do it late.
Yeah, do it early, right. Get back for the older kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I actually had, I remember one time there was a house I went to and they did that. And there's some kids that came up and started taking a lot. And they opened the door and said, we're actually watching you. And it's just to take one.
We see, I like that.
Yeah. That's cool. They were just messing with the kids to
that's
see
awesome.
It.
That's awesome.
Yeah. To make them feel bad.
Yeah. Right. And then they hit him with a sword. But it was flexible. And so it was a pretty fast part of it. All right, well, so if a lot of parents are going to stay in with their kids after only going trick-or-treating, what kind of stuff do you think they should give out? Like, if you did have trick-or-treaters and you guys, and Cash has never eaten candy, what would you give out?
Full candy bars. Full size. You know the houses I'm talking about is kids that you knew who was giving out the huge candy
so
bars.
So do you want to be that house?
Well, I didn't want to spend the money, but yeah. Or there's the old lady that thinks she's doing you a favor by giving you a couple pennies.
Yeah.
Right. Right. Or a nickel.
Like, what?
That was our next door neighbor.
They make these anymore?
Or those candied almonds? Why do I need these?
Well, there's like these things in a wrapper that are like orange and squishy. And like the worst Halloween candy ever.
Oh, the orange and black peanut butter thing.
Yeah,
so, I know it's
the black peanut butter thing. It's in like wax paper.
It is the most generic Halloween candy out there.
We ended up now in our thrifty state. We just buy like we don't even buy like the bags of Halloween candy at Costco anymore. We buy the boxes of the Tootsie Roll lollipops because they're cheaper anyway.
Oh yeah, those are good.
And just, you know, give out the lollipops.
Yeah, or dum-dums.
Is there anything healthy that you can give get eggs?
Yeah, no.
Don't give out fruit. Like, seriously, yeah, no. I've been to houses, too, where they do. Oh, I like it when houses give out those glow sticks that you were talking about.
Oh,
have you seen
that's
that?
A good one.
It's a really,
that's a good idea.
Just a little tiny, like, sticks or the bands or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because then you're helping parents.
Right. And,
then,
and kids like them.
Yeah. I've seen that people give out are things like stickers.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right.
Or, you know,
that's on the edge. Yeah. That's on the line.
I'm against Spider stickers, ring. Though. They put that on everything, and then it ruins your furniture.
You know what I didn't like? There was a dentist across the street, and he gave out
toothbrushes. No, he did not.
You guys both had that experience.
See, that's like the woman who hands out pennies or the woman that hands out fruit.
Yes.
Come on. I mean, if you're going to do it, just turn off your light if you're going to do something like that. Don't make me feel bad for feeding my kids candy.
That's the other, actually... Now you mentioned candy it, the corn? Other crazy thing about Halloween is, like, I always like going to the door now so I can, like, peek inside people's houses and, oh, they have, like, look how that thing is set up.
Yeah.
Like, oh, they've
got,
like, a cool, oh, they took out their fireplace. Look at that.
Oh, so it's permissible voyeurism?
It is a little bit, right?
Yeah.
It's like your one chance a year that, oh, look at that.
See,
that's how they roll.
Not to open the door.
See, I like it just to see how other people decorate their houses, not just for Halloween, but like, oh, they got ceramic
that's
tile
I mean.
There. I should have done that.
Bearskin rug. Interesting choice. All right, nice. Well, hopefully there were some helpful tips there for toddlers. It was fun to record. Go around.
Yeah.
Hopefully it was fun to listen to. We'll see how it goes. Give us your feedback. We actually want to hear from you on this episode. Send us in your pictures of your cute kids on Halloween. I think we're going to do some sort of contest on our Facebook page for that. Yeah, happy Halloween. Thanks for listening. Thanks so much for joining us. We're actually going to do some bonus content for our Parent Savers Club. We're going to talk about our favorite Halloween candies, the stuff that we really like getting. As well as some other memories. So join us after the show for that. If you want more information about the Parent Savers Club, visit our website at parentsavers.com.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Frame. Mother's Day is almost here. What are you getting her? Something that shows you care. Something that makes her feel loved. Something that won't stress you out. Something like the Skylight Frame. The Skylight Frame is the perfect gift. It's a touchscreen photo frame your whole family can upload photos to, from wherever they are in the world. It's a way to share with her all the moments that matter. It sets up in seconds. You can even make sure that it's already loaded with photos when your mom opens her Mother's Day gift. And her Skylight Frame can hold thousands of the treasured photos you share. It's an easy, heartfelt way for mom to stay connected with those who matter most. It really is the perfect gift. Now, as a special Mother's Day offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight Frame when you go to skylightframe.com/easy. That's SKYLIGHTFRAME.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at SkylightFrame.com/easy.
Before we wrap up today's show, here's blogger David Vienna sharing the realities of parenting from his blog, The Daddy Complex.
Hi, Parent Savers. This is The Daddy Complex. I'm David Vienna, father of twin boys, and if my experience has taught me anything about parenting, it's that I know nothing about parenting. Once your baby becomes a toddler, you will never be on time again, ever. Not an exaggeration. Your friends will simply assume that when you say you'll be somewhere at 10 a.m. on a Monday, it means 11:30 a.m., and that's if things go well. If not, it means Thursday. You will also learn how to commute to work at speeds that would make a top-fuel dragster look like a radio flyer. And if you think you're too organized for this to happen, trust me, it applies to pretty much everyone, because even militantly anal clock watchers will experience this often enough to either adapt or go insane. My wife and I used to battle to get the boys through the morning routine. Wake up, go potty, dress for school, eat breakfast, get in the car, and depart. As my mother-in-law says, it's not rocket surgery. The problem for us and other parents is any number of these steps could, and inevitably do, take much longer than planned. For example, whether or not our son Boone decides to spend 15 minutes on the potty remains a wild card. Why do these seemingly simple steps take so long? Pick any combination of the following choices, and for parents of twins or triplets, multiply it. Refusing to eat, wanting to be fed by one of us, wanting to be held by one of us rather than getting dressed, arguing why Go Diego Go should be watched, running and or screaming, unhappiness with choice of clothing even if said child picked it out, unhappiness with the choice of breakfast even if said child picked it out, more running and or screaming, random and sometimes imagined injuries sustained while running and or screaming, hunting for a specific toy that was absently flung across the room the previous night, impromptu game of hide and seek, conversation about whether or not giraffes dance, potty accident, puking caused by unforeseen illness, trying to ride the dog like a Shetland pony, simple lollygagging, even more running and or screaming. And adjusting the timeline to start the process earlier doesn't help. It just gives your child more time to mess around. Toddlers and preschoolers simply have too much to do to adhere to your randomly chosen schedule. Just getting in the car takes 20 minutes, unless, of course, you've allotted 10 minutes for it, in which case it will take anywhere from 20 minutes to a fortnight. This may sound absolutely infuriating, but my wife and I have hit upon a fantastically simple solution. We made peace with being late. We go to bed each night knowing the next morning will feature us barking instructions and requests at the boys over and over, followed by a mad dash to work. And because of that adjustment, we sleep better and enjoy our mornings more. Sometimes we even prolong that conversation about dancing giraffes. Check out more of my terrible advice at thedaddycomplex.com, the Huffington Post, or on Twitter at thedaddycomplex. You can also view episodes of Fighting with Babies, my puppet web series for parents, at thedaddycomplex.com/FWB, and be sure to keep listening to Parent Savers for more fatherly tips.
That wraps up our show for today. Thank you so much for listening to Parent Savers. Don't forget to check out our sister show, Preggy Pals, for expecting parents, our show, The Boob Group, for moms who breastfeed their babies, and Twin Talks, focusing on it for parents of twins. Next week, we're going to be talking about creating family traditions, so hopefully you can go out and create some of your own this Halloween, and we're going to do one more spooky Halloween noise.
Parent Savers, empowering new parents!
This has been a New Mommy Media production. The information and material contained in this episode are presented for educational purposes only. Statements and opinions expressed in this episode are not necessarily those of New Mommy Media and should not be considered facts. While such information and materials are believed to be accurate, it is not intended to replace or substitute for professional medical advice or care, and should not be used for diagnosing or treating health care problem or disease or prescribing any medication. If you have questions or concerns regarding your physical or mental health or the health of your baby, please seek assistance from a qualified health care provider.
Hey, mamas. Don't forget to check out Mighty Moms. It's our online community built for new moms just like you. Not only can you connect with other moms, but you can also join us backstage for special mom-only online events. And you'll also be notified when we're recording so you can join us as a special guest. Visit our website, newmommymedia.com, and click on the Mighty Moms banner. It's free. That's newmommymedia.com. See you there.